KIOS-FM presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, November 21st, 2002, for broadcast at this time. Today's guest speaker will be Lou Lamberty, chairman of the Joint Committee to Study City-County Merger. He'll present a progress report from the committee. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Hugh Cowden, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Hugh Cowden, a member of the Education Committee of the Omaha Press Club. At least once a month, the Press Club sponsors a forum that we think will be of interest to our members and to the community at large. You do not have to be a Press Club member to attend. The forums are open to everyone. Today, the topic is the proposed merger of Douglas County and the City of Omaha. This is a complex topic, and here to talk about it is Lou Lamberty, who chairs the seven-member committee that was jointly appointed by the City Council and County Board last spring to study and recommend merger options by next June. The committee's first potential recommendation, reached last month, dealt with the possible merger of the Omaha City Prosecutor's Office and the Douglas County Attorney's Office. Lou Lamberty, who was appointed chairman of the committee by Mayor Fahey, the City Council, and the County Board, is a consulting engineer who has served as Public Works Director for the City of Omaha, Surveyor Engineer for Douglas County, and the director and state engineer for the Nebraska Department of Roads during the Kerry administration. His current professional activities include memberships on the Nebraska Power Review Board, the advisory committee of the Center for Infrastructure Research at UNL, and the advisory council for the University of Nebraska Engineering College. Will you please join me in welcoming today's speaker, Lou Lamberty.
Thank you, Hugh. It's my pleasure to be here this afternoon and talk to you a little bit about what our committee has been doing and what we will be doing in the future. We're about halfway through our study, and we've got an awful lot of work left to do, but we'll bring you up to date as to where we are. As Hugh said, the committee was created by the county board and the city council. It has seven members, three appointed by the city, three by the county, and one jointly. And our charge is to develop a report on merging services through the method provided in LB 142, use of interlocal agreements, consolidation of functions, and through joint delivery methods. It means we're supposed to look at everything, basically. Committee members, I'm the chairman. Kathleen Jeffries is a vice chair. Kathleen is a longtime member of the Omaha Planning Board and very active in a whole slew of community activities. Carol Gendler was a city appointment. Carol, in a past life, was a librarian of the city or the county legal library. She now has her own legal research business. Tim Hart was a city appointment. He is a vice president with First National Bank. Rudy Novacek, a county appointment, is a retired OPPD employee and very active in neighborhood stuff, particularly in South Omaha. Chuck Powell, a county appointment, is a UNO professor. And Travis Salas, the final city appointment, is assistant transportation director for the Omaha Public Schools. The committee was formed by Mayor Fahey, or announced by Mayor Fahey and Chairman Duda on May 2nd of this year, and we had our first meeting on May 8th, and we've been meeting roughly every 2 weeks since then. It's a pretty hectic schedule. All our meetings are open to the public, and meeting times, places, copies of minutes, etc., can be obtained from our staff person, Brian Smith, who you can reach at 444-5034. I'll repeat that. If you want to know where we're meeting, when we're meeting, or get minutes of any of our meetings, call Brian Smith, 444-5034. During our first few months of committee work, we did about four things. First, we spent a good deal of time being briefed by city and county officials just to learn about city and county government. There's a whole lot to learn if you're going to start talking about trying to merge any of those functions. So we spent a lot of time just understanding what we were dealing with. Secondly, we spent some time doing some research in other cities and counties around the country to see what they had done in terms of mergers and what we might learn from their experiences. We did a review of previous studies of merging city and county in this area, and we did an analysis of LB 142. I'll start with the latter. The legislative background on mergers, you may recall that in 1998 we all voted for a constitutional amendment that would authorize governmental mergers. Then last year the legislature passed LB 142, which spelled out the details of how a city-county merger might actually operate. A few details on the provisions of LB 142. Basically what it provides for is the possibility to create what they call a municipal county by combining one or more counties and one or more municipalities in each county. It calls for setting up a commission to study the issue and to come up with a recommendation on a consolidation plan. Consolidation plan will specify who's to be elected, what form of government, etc. And the governing bodies must then approve that plan that the commission comes up with and submit that plan to the voters. One of the interesting parts of the legislation is how the voting goes for anyone to actually get a merger approved. You must have a majority of the people voting approve the merger. You must have a majority of the people in the city or cities that might be merged approve the merger, vote in favor of the merger. You must have a majority of the people who live outside of the cities that are considering merger, but in the county, in the unincorporated areas of the county, that group must vote in favor of the merger. And then finally, the group of people who live outside of the city and outside of any sanitary improvement districts must vote by majority in favor of the merger. It means that the folks that live in very rural Douglas County on the farms or small homesteads, of which there aren't very many people anymore, can control whether or not city-county can merge. Some other provisions of LB 142, it allows us to continue to use sanitary improvement districts for a development tool, although we're a little confused how that's supposed to work. And it does say that the municipal county would have all the powers that the city and the county currently have in terms of governing. As we reviewed LB 142, we found several areas where we were concerned about and that we think need some work if indeed a total merger of city and county were ever to proceed. First, the language that deals with the annexations by the cities that opt out of the merger, which is possible under LB 142, is really unclear and confusing. We don't know how that's supposed to work. The language surrounding the sanitary improvement districts is also very unclear, and we're not quite sure under the provisions of LB 142 how you'd ever form another one. LB 142 says that the rural fire districts shall be maintained, but it doesn't really say how or how they would fit into a merged entity. And finally, the municipal county, it looks like to us, would receive a significant decrease in state highway funds from what the city and the county together are receiving today, perhaps as much as two-thirds or one-third of what we're getting today. And today the two together get about $34 million a year. So that's a concern and needs to be fixed. So the bottom line is that if this committee in final analysis recommends to the county board and to the city council that they should consider merging a total merger of city and county, part of that recommendation is going to be they're going to have to go back to the legislature and do some fixing on LB 142. We took a look at what had been done on studies on merging city and county here in the past, hoping that we could find some reports that we could build on. Well, it didn't work out that way. Merger has been talked about for a long time. We found stuff going back to 1937, but we couldn't find a single study that ever, if they had any studies, we couldn't find a report from any study. There is no reports in the files. I know that there was a commission established during P.J. Morgan's tenure as mayor, although I know it also didn't last very long, but they left nothing behind. There was a county efficiency study in 1997 that did recommend some some merging of certain functions, but I don't think any of those recommendations were ever carried out. So there's really no history or body of information that we can start with and build on. We spent a fair amount of time reviewing what has happened in the rest of the country in terms of mergers and consolidations. We read a fair amount of information from a fair number of articles from the literature. A couple of folks on our committee, Carol Gendler and Chuck Powell, who have a research bent, we gave them the task of doing a really in-depth literature research and reporting back to the committee. And we also brought in Dr. Dan Derning, who is a professor of public administration at the University of Georgia and is a recognized national expert on city-county merger. We spent a day with him picking his brain on mergers in general, what's happened around the country, and how we should proceed. Some of the things that we learned in this research, first of all, there's several different approaches to city-county merger. Actually merging city and county governments, which we call a structural merger, that is total merger of the two, that's one option, and that's been done in Indianapolis and Kansas City, Kansas, for example. A second option is what we call a multi-tiered kind of merger, where you have maybe a regional type governing body that is responsible for certain things, planning, highway, maybe major highway construction, maybe sewage treatment or something, and then you'll have other governmental bodies at the more local level providing some of the more mundane services, if you will, streets and sewer and fire and all that. Minneapolis has a model something like that. Toronto used to have a model like that, and they went away from it in the last couple of years, so I guess it didn't work for them. The third model is what we call functional consolidation. And that's where a city and a county get together and functionally merge certain departments or certain specific service areas so that the county, for instance, may do all the streets in the whole area and the city may provide all the fire department, all the fire service, or whatever. Charlotte-Mecklenburg County is a very good example of this happening. They've never merged formally or totally, but they've merged virtually all of their functions so that the city does these things and the county does these things and they don't cross paths on any of those. So that's a third functional consolidation. Other things that we learned in our research, there have only been 25 city-county mergers since World War II. Not very many when you consider there's 3,600 counties or something like that in the country. We were hoping to find a model merger that would say, this looks like Omaha, and we can just kind of learn from what they did and kind of copy them. Well, wasn't out there. Every region, every situation is entirely unique, and so there's no real good model that we can look at. Cost savings as a result of merger is very difficult to determine. And I know it's the big issue. Whenever somebody asks me or whenever I'm talking to somebody about merger, their eyes are rolling and saying, well, how much money are you going to save? Well, our research indicates that, first of all, it's very difficult to measure, and it's probably fairly modest. Dr. Derning suggested to us when asked that he said his rule of thumb is city-county mergers may save 5% of the combined operating budgets, plus or minus 2%. So that was the expert's best guess at it. So what that means is there's other issues that need to be looked at besides costs when you're talking about merger. Accountability, equity, who pays the bills, and is it fair, efficiency, and responsiveness. And so we're looking at all those issues as we consider whether any kind of a merger makes sense in this area. Finally, I mentioned Charlotte-Mecklenburg, and they do seem in many ways to be very similar to Omaha, and we may want to spend some more time talking to them. Recall that they're doing the functional merger, not the structural merger. We'll spend just a little time giving some facts and figures that we learned about city and county government. First of all, total population today in Douglas County is about 464,000. Population of Omaha is about 390,000. So the city of Omaha has about 84% of the population in the county and occupies about 35% of the land mass in the county. The extraterritorial jurisdiction that Omaha has, and I need to explain that, each city has a planning jurisdiction that lies outside of their corporate limits, in which they have the responsibility and authority to control land use planning, development, zoning, and so on. Omaha has a 3-mile extraterritorial jurisdiction. Elkhorn, for example, has a 2-mile, and the other cities in the county have a 1-mile jurisdiction. Within Omaha's planning jurisdiction, there are 141 sanitary improvement districts, or developments, if you will, with 11% of the population and 26% of the landmass of Douglas County. So if you add those up, Omaha, either within its corporate limits or within its planning area, which Omaha would expect to annex sooner or later, there is now 95% of the population of the county residing in that area, and they occupy something near 60% of the landmass. The other cities in the county have about 3.5% of the population, and they do have a few sanitary improvement districts in their planning areas. And the unincorporated areas have about 12% of the population. A few facts and figures on Douglas County and City of Omaha and the other cities out there. Douglas County is governed by a 7-member board of commissioners and 9 elected officials. They provide quite a variety of services countywide. Generally, all of the health and human welfare services are provided by Douglas County. They support the courts and the probation system. They run the county jail. They run the county landfill. They do the auto licensing. They collect the taxes. They appraise your properties. Quite a wide variety of services that they provide countywide. They also provide some services just in the unincorporated areas of Douglas County, street and highway construction and maintenance, police protection through the sheriff's office, planning and permits and inspections. Those are just limited, again, to the unincorporated areas of the county. Last year's budget for the county totaled almost $204 million, with $165 million of that being operating and about $38-39 million for capital improvements, and they have a little over 2,000 employees. City of Omaha, of course, is governed by a mayor and a 7-member city council. Services provided are police and fire protection, parks and recreation, construction and maintenance of streets and sewers, wastewater, treatment, garbage pickup, planning, permits, and inspection of libraries. Their budget for this year is about $508 million, of which $285 million is operating and another $233 million for capital improvements, and they have somewhere in the vicinity of 2,800 employees. The small towns, Bennington, Elkhorn, Ralston, Valley, and Waterloo, basically provide the same services that the City of Omaha provides to their citizens, police protection, streets, and so on. Their combined budgets for this year are in the vicinity of about $18 million, $15 million operating, about $3 million capital improvements. And they have about 93 employees full-time among them and 40-some part-time employees. In the unincorporated areas, I said earlier that encompasses about 12% of the population and about 62% of the land mass. There are 158 subdivisions or sanitary and improvement districts within that unincorporated area, and again, 141, or the great majority, are within Omaha's planning jurisdiction. In those areas, the sheriff provides the police protection. Maintenance of the streets outside the SIDs is provided by the county engineer. Within the sanitary improvement districts, they themselves provide the maintenance of sewers and streets. Basically, all wastewater treatment is provided by the City of Omaha for the whole area of the county east of the Elkhorn River. We have an extensive sewer system that brings everything down to the treatment plants here in Omaha. Fire protection is handled by the various rural fire districts, of which there are 7 or 8, to a small degree by the Omaha Fire District in one area, Omaha Fire Department in one area. One of the things that we learned, and I think is an important point to stress again and again, is there's basically no overlap between city and county in terms of the direct services that they offer to the citizens. There is no overlap. And we need to remember that because I think that's a point that people often don't understand. There are a number of parallel services where the city serves one group of people and the county groups another. And we've talked about it already, police protection, street maintenance, planning, permits, and inspections. Those are parallel services, but they serve different, each division of government serves a different group of people. There are also a number of support services that are duplicated in the two governments. Each of them has a purchasing department and a personnel department and a legal department and a finance department and a vehicle maintenance department and a building maintenance department. So those are all duplicated, but they are support services. There are more interlocal agreements between city and county than you can possibly count, I think. And one of the things that we were impressed with is the high degree of cooperation between city and county that already exists, and is evidenced by just a myriad of interlocal agreements covering just about every topic you can imagine. Three of the more interesting ones, and from our perspective, is the merger that occurred about 4 years ago of the 911 services between city and county. 911, the emergency system, is now run entirely by the county, countywide, and that's been working very well. It's a very successful functional merger, if you will, merging two departments from two entities into a single department. Currently, the city and the county are working on merging their information technology groups into something called .com, which is basically a new semi-autonomous department which will serve both city and county in the whole realm of computer information technology. That just got started this year. It'll be very interesting to follow that and see how that goes. The other thing the city and county are currently doing is they're installing a new financial system, and they're installing a common new financial system, so basically they can talk to each other if they want to. But we think those kinds of things are very healthy, and again, what we see and hear again and again as we talk to folks in the city and the county is that there's a high degree of cooperation already exists in city and county government, between city and county government. One of the issues that the committee has taken a particular interest in and has some concerns about, and we'll be spending some more time talking about this in our future deliberations, is the whole area of planning and development. Currently, there are six planning jurisdictions in Douglas County. Omaha has its planning jurisdiction, obviously, within the city and also within its three-mile limit. There are four cities, small cities, that have extraterritorial area where they control planning, and then wherever there's left over, the county does the planning. There is no uniform county or regional, for that matter, planning for uniform zoning, growth control, public improvements, etc. We believe that that may be a problem, and it's one of the issues we want to look at. We have been told by folks that are smarter than us that there is a significant possibility for very significant growth in the next 50 years in the Omaha metropolitan area. Some folks are predicting an increase of population of 27% in Douglas County and 134% in Sarpy County. As that development takes place, it's very, very important in terms of the health of the city of Omaha how that development takes place, particularly how dense or not dense that development is. Because if, for instance, you begin developing in the outlying areas in one-acre lots instead of what we're currently doing is about third to quarter-acre lots, you're going to consume land at a much higher rate, obviously. But more importantly, it's going to cost a lot more to build infrastructure improvements. It costs about five times. You need about five times more roads if you develop at a density of 1 acre rather than a density of a third acre. So it's important that there is a county and regional agreement on how we're going to develop over the next 25 to 50 years to meet the anticipated growth that that we believe is going to happen. Basically, Omaha needs the continuing ability to manage growth and to control infrastructure costs and land use so that we can maintain an adequate tax base and a healthy economy. We think that's a key issue as we proceed forward with all this. So we spent several months learning all of these things that I've just been relating to you. And then we sat down at a retreat early in September and said, okay, now what are we going to do? We know all this stuff. What are we going to do with it? We came up with, out of that retreat, six policy statements that we thought would be useful in guiding our deliberations as we go down the road. And I want to share those with you, and I'll just read them off. But they kind of give you an idea of at least where our minds will be as we consider what the merger possibilities here. First of all, there is a reasonable expectation that consolidation efforts will result in long-term cost savings. During the transition period, it is possible that costs will increase. We believe we can find some cost savings, but in the interim, in a short term, it may not be there. It is critical that Douglas County and Omaha's future economic health that the city be able to continue to grow and expand its boundaries in an orderly manner. I talked about that just before this, the planning issue, and we believe that's a very interesting and important issue. Effective service delivery is essential and must be maintained in any consolidation or merger. We don't want to reduce service delivery we don't want to do mergers and then find out we reduce service delivery. We want to keep service delivery where it is today or improve it if we can. That would be our goal. Increased accountability of government to citizens through consolidation of merger actions is an important objective. Got to maintain accountability as we consider how we merge various functions. The interests of the City of Omaha and Douglas County are interdependent. That seems obvious. Sometimes it isn't. But we need to keep that in mind as we consider as we continue our deliberations. And finally, some local government services are needed by the entire area and should be funded by all. Other services are important to just a portion of the county and should be funded by those consuming the services. Basically, this goes to the tax equity issue: who's paying for what and who should be paying for what. And it's an important part of our deliberations as we proceed. That's where we've been. Now we are starting the fun part. Try to figure out what we should recommend to the county board and the city council and to all the citizens of Douglas County. The approach that we have chosen to take is to begin by reviewing all of the parallel services that I talked about earlier to determine what benefits, if any, might be obtained from merging some of those parallel functions. And so we've begun having conversations with the police and the sheriff department, with Public Works and the county engineer, with the county attorney and the city attorney. We're going to be having a meeting with the various fire departments in a couple of weeks. We'll be looking at purchasing, vehicle maintenance, building maintenance, personnel, permits and inspection, and parks. We're going to be looking at all of those parallel functions where city and county have departments that do similar or the very same things, although always for different groups of people, to see if mergers of those departments, functional mergers in any of those departments, might make sense. And we're in the beginning stages of that. Hugh said that we had made a tentative recommendation on moving prosecutor functions from city attorney to county attorney, and we're still reviewing that because there was some information we needed to really firm that one up. But you'll be seeing a series of recommendations coming out from our committee in the next month or two as we begin to study all of these. We've done a lot of work already, and we're just into the discussion mode now. We have met with all the planning officials from all the jurisdictions in the county to discuss regional growth, annexation, and resource issues. We are now developing recommendations on what to do with what we think is a very important issue, planning and land use. And we should be, coming down the pike shortly. As we go, we're developing a list of statutory questions and issues relating to merger and consolidation. We've got quite a list already, and there'll probably be more. But there are a number of legal questions that are going to have to be addressed by statute changes if, indeed, we proceed with some or all of the mergers. We are looking at possible visits to other cities or having them come visit us. We haven't decided whether that's useful to us or not yet. We need to get further down the pike. When we get through all of these steps and have looked at all the potentials for functional merger, have dealt with the planning issue, then we'll sit back and look at this thing in its entirety and decide whether or not we believe structural merger makes any sense. That is, total merger of city and county. After we've looked at all the elements, we'll start adding them up and seeing if we think that city and county merger, a total merger, makes any sense, and figure out what our recommendation should be on that. Well, that's where we are today. Just beginning to put out some recommendations, struggling with them, I might add. This is not an easy job. It's not straightforward and obvious always. But that's where we are. We are intend to be done by June 1st of next year, and I think we'll be tired of it by then, so we will be done. I would be happy, as I understand it now, you're passing in all these wonderful questions, and I get a chance to try to answer those. All right.
Thank you, Lou. I used the word complex. I think that was an understatement. How would the new merged county be referred to? Omaha Douglas, Omaha County, or would the names be unchanged?
Haven't a clue. That would be part of what probably a commission following us would determine, the details like that, and we are not going to get into that because we don't believe that's our charge.
If a merger took place, how would law enforcement be handled? Do you see an advantage to citizens in terms of better protection in a merger?
If there were a city-county merger, or it's even possible just functionally merge the city and the city police and the sheriff's office, police services would be provided for the whole county by one department, whereas now they're provided by two departments. That would be the change. Whether the citizens would see any real change, I doubt. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? That's exactly what we're wrestling with right now. We have had presentations from the Omaha Police Department and from the Sheriff's Office. We're continuing to gather more information, and we're hoping that sometime in December we can arrive at some conclusions on the directions we think that potential merger ought to go.
Can minutes be made available on the Internet?
Yes, they can. If you would call Brian, 444-5034, he will put you on his email list, and you can receive our minutes and our agendas.
Given the voting requirements set out in LB 142, does this even seem feasible no matter what model you come up with?
Structural merger as LB 142 is currently written is probably almost impossible to accomplish. Functional mergers can be done without a vote of the people and often without any legislative changes, and so a number of the potential functional mergers that I talked about could well be accomplished without even referring to LB 142.
What changes, and I think this refers to a story just this morning, but what changes can be expected for booking officers at the Douglas County Corrections Center? If and when the merger takes place, will current city employees keep seniority, rank, et cetera?
I don't know that I can answer the booking question. And I don't know that I can really answer the other question on seniority. One of the issues that has to be considered, and I don't know how deeply we're going to want to get into it or be able to get into it, but one of the issues is if you're combining even two departments, much less a whole city and county, you're dealing with different pay levels, pay structures. You're dealing with different fringe benefit packages. You're dealing with different seniority rules. One of the things that has to be figured out is how you merge all of that into a workable package. It's been one of the reasons, I think, that mergers have been very hard to accomplish because this is not easy to do. It's also, I think, one reason why mergers have not saved a great deal of money in other places, because things tend to be merged toward the highest common denominator. Whoever's paying the best, that's where the wage scale is set. So that's a very complex issue, and we will go as far as we can into it. But finally, the answers to that will have to come from the City Council and County Board as they proceed with whatever our recommendations are.
What are some examples of universal local services that should be paid for by all citizens of the county?
Well, we're building a new convention center over here, which is costly. And actually will serve not only the county, but it will serve the entire region. The question is, and I don't know the right answer, but the question is, should the cost of that somehow be shared by everybody that's going to benefit from it? Rosenblatt Stadium might be another example of, again, a regional facility that's basically supported by City of Omaha taxpayers, and should some other arrangement be made for those kinds of things? Easy to ask the question, not very easy to answer it and figure out how to do it. Did I answer that question totally? Okay.
If mergers have only minimal chances for modest savings, why are we pursuing one?
Because we were told to. There are other benefits from mergers than other than cost savings, and I think there can be and should be some cost savings, but other benefits go to delivery of services, efficiency, and effectiveness of local governments, and as I said, that's what we keep looking at as we are studying these various departments and studying the potentials for merger. The other thing that Professor Durning told us, which I thought was very interesting, he said, I think there's been 110 studies of merger around the country in the last 20 years or something like that, and only 25 of them have actually ended up merging. But he said, and often those that merge have done two or three or four or five studies and attempts before they get there. But he said, one of the things that I've found in my research is that just going through the process of studying the issue often gives you a number of new insights and leads to some improvements in what's going on in the local government. Whether you ever merge or not, you'll learn a lot and you can take advantage of what you learned. So he thinks the study is a good process even if the end result is different than what you might have thought you were going to when you were starting.
Since LB 142 clearly defines the makeup of a commission to study a city-county merger and the representatives with representatives from all entities. Why was this committee formed without representation from Omaha and the county?
I don't know. I didn't form the commission. The county board and the city or the committee, the city council and the county board did. And I'm not quite sure what their point was in setting it up the way they did. We obviously do not follow the dictates of LB 142. There's going to have to be something after us to follow that law, to comply with that law in terms of the commission and how it's structured. So I guess I see ourselves as the first step toward whatever the final decision is.
How on earth will the city and county get past the employee pay and benefits disparities, the usual obstacles to mergers? Will you be making recommendations? Well, this is a separate question about making recommendations about not only the what but the how, but the first question deals with the employee pay and benefit disparities.
That's a big issue. And not an easy one. And we are going to look at it as best we can. We're starting simply. As we're looking at these parallel functions, we will be looking at the disparities within those parallel departments and figuring out what it might cost to make them equal. But that's a big issue, and it certainly is one reason why it's been difficult to merge cities and counties. In the end, the county board and the city council are going to have to make the decision if total merger or even partial mergers are recommended, they're going to have to make the decision how to equal out those inequities that exist today. And it's not an easy issue.
Will you be making recommendations about not only the what but the how?
I think what we'll be doing is analyzing the costs plus or minus and informing the county board and city council of what those costs are, and let them determine how they're going to get there.
Is the is the functional merger the most likely option for Omaha and for Douglas County?
I don't know. Functional merger is a whole lot easier. We've already done one really good one, the 911. We're working on the .com, and it's relatively easy to do. Relatively, or no mergers are easy. They're relatively easy to do. What we discovered in looking at the literature is that many of the cities and counties that had done a total structural merger had led up to that by a number of functional mergers that kind of got them to the point where, well, let's just merge. We've kind of done it all already. So that might be the stepwise process that the powers that be say we should go. We can come up with some recommendations on functional mergers and ease our way toward a structural merger. But I really don't know. We're looking at all the options.
Will mergers inevitably result in a loss of jobs in the two departments involved or two functions? Isn't that the only way a cost savings can take place? For example, would the functions of the city prosecutor and the county attorney be combined so that one of those jobs would be eliminated?
The answer is, to the first part of the question, yes. The way you save costs is by eliminating jobs. Most of those jobs will be eliminated in the management, middle management, perhaps some clerical areas. It's hard for me to imagine eliminating many workers' jobs, that is, the folks that are actually out there putting the asphalt on the street or mowing the parks or whatever. We're not going to decrease the number of streets or number of parks we've got to maintain. We're going to have the same number of people doing that. What you save is in overhead structure, middle management, top management, and that sort of thing. Those are the jobs that would be at risk in any kind of merger, whether functional or structural.
Well, then, this would be a kind of a follow-up. In the end, isn't the committee's main problem going to be political, that is, the loss of power and authority, the loss of turf, by one of the two departments being merged, and how can the committee overcome this?
Well, I don't think it's our problem. It's your problem. Our problem is to, as best we can, give you the facts, and you figure out what direction you want to go, you being the city council, the county board, and finally the voters of the city of Omaha and of Douglas County. I don't think we should be, as a committee, concerning ourselves with the politics of how you get things merged. We should be concerned and are concerned about presenting the best information we possibly can to everybody that has to make a decision and let them figure out the politics.
Are there a lot of differences among the members of the committee, or has it been relatively easy in trying to reach a consensus on the merger of functions that go beyond the city and the county restrooms?
It's too early to know because we've just begun those kind of discussions. So I don't know how divided we're going to be as we begin getting serious about recommendations. On our first very tentative recommendation on moving prosecutor functions, we were unanimous. Whether that holds, I don't know. It's just too early to tell. I will say the committee works very well together, and we get along very well. And my goal would be that we come up with unanimous recommendations as we go along. But there's seven of us, and we all have our own ideas. We never know.
Lou, I'm recalling a story in the paper not long ago that I'm sure others have seen about urban sprawl and the fact that Omaha ranks well in terms of restraining urban sprawl. I'm not even sure what that is. Does your committee have anything to do with that?
Well, I did talk a bit about our concern about planning issues countywide, the fact that there are six different planning jurisdictions in the county and that they don't necessarily have the same rules and regulations and redevelopment plans. And we believe that that is a potential problem and that something needs to happen to do a better job of coordinating all of that planning countywide, probably even region-wide. The fact that we don't have a huge sprawl problem at this point may, as much as anything, relate to the fact that Omaha, because it's so big, has had most of the control of land use, at least in Douglas County. That is changing as Omaha expands out. We're now bumping up against Elkhorn's planning limits. Elkhorn has a fairly sizable area that they have control over that Omaha has nothing to say about. And so it's going to be – that's an important issue that we need to deal with, that the committee believes we need to deal with. We think it's an important part of merger talks.
Are there any existing master plans to guide interlocal agreements? That is, fire/rescue agreement between A and B may not be efficient because C or D are not members.
No, to my knowledge, there's no so-called master plan on how to build an interlocal agreement. Basically, how interlocal agreements come about is that the folks in the city, if we're talking city-county, because there's also interlocal agreements on all other scales, but the folks in the city and the county say, you know, if we did it together, it would make more sense, and they just do it. There is no master plan or master way to do these things. You just do them when they make sense. I don't know if that answers the question, but there's no – you can't go to a book and figure out how to write an interlocal agreement.
Here is a fairly broad one. What are the primary ways in which the average citizen will notice a change in his or her daily life if a merger is accomplished, or will it depend entirely on which departments and functions will be merged?
Well, the ideal would be that the citizens would never know it happened. In terms of the services that they receive, I don't think the citizens are going to know or care whether county engineer or public works takes care of their streets as long as they're getting the service they got before. They're not going to really care whether it's Omaha Police Department or the sheriff doing the policing as long as they get the same services they got before. The ideal merger situation is where the citizens don't know it happened from a service delivery standpoint.
We talked about this a little while ago before the program started. I'm going to ask you again, is this in part a political issue? That is, do Republicans and Democrats tend to take different views on the pros and cons of a city-county merger?
Well, I have Democratic friends who are for it and Democratic friends who are against it and Republican friends who are for it and Republican friends who are against it. The answer is no. I haven't seen any kind of a party divide on this at all. It's just your kind of your perspective as to how government ought to operate in this area.
With that, we're going to conclude. I want to thank Lou Lamberty for taking the time to participate in this month's forum and for helping to clarify the complexities of the proposed city-county merger. And our thanks as well to our audience here at the Omaha Press Club and to our KIOS radio audience. We are adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. On today's program, we've heard a talk by Lou Lamberty, chairman of the Joint Committee to Study City-County Merger. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, November 21st, 2002, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Hugh Cowden for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. If you'd like to attend future forums, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.